Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Welcome to Authors Beyond Words. My name is Richard Cohn. I'm the publisher of Beyond Words Publishing and the host for today's podcast. Our guest today is Ron Pevney, and I would like to read just a little about his background so that our listening audience will know a little more about him. Ron has for 45 years been dedicated to assisting people in negotiating life transitions as they create lives of purpose and passion. He is a published author and the founding director of the Center for Conscious Eldering, which is based in Colorado, and for 20 years has presented workshops and retreats across North America to support people in bringing purpose, growth, and commitment to service to their elder years. Ron is also a certified saging leader, has served as the host and interviewer for 3 Transforming Aging Summits presented by the Shift Network, and is the co-host and interviewer for the Turning Points interview series sponsored by Saging International. If you'd like to learn a little more about Ron and what he does, you can learn more at the Center for Conscious Eldering. Ron, it's a pleasure to be with you today.
Oh, thank you, Richard, and it's an honor to be interviewed by you.
I know that I've just mentioned some of the background that you had in your experience, and one of the things that was mentioned was the word or words conscious eldering. Would you share with our audience what is conscious eldering? How is it different from, say, positive aging, successful aging, healthy aging, and other approaches to aging, that are getting a lot of attention in the media these days?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the best place to begin is to position position where this whole topic is at now in terms of what's going on in our society. And I think that it is accurate to say that for quite a few years, up until maybe 15, 20 years ago, we were living in a society that really was not honoring older adults, glorified youth, that just didn't know what to do with our older adults. And so many people, as they reached retirement age, ended up finding that they no longer had a sense of purpose, that they were more and more deemed irrelevant by the world around them, couldn't see any kind of an empowering vision for how they could live the latter chapters of their lives. And what began to happen, you know, pretty significantly maybe 15, 20 years ago, is that a lot of teachers and others who have a strong influence on the culture began to point out the kind of ageism that has been going on, and to say it doesn't need to be this way, that just because you retire or you reach a certain age, that doesn't mean that you can't end up continuing to be active and engaged in fulfilling activities and have a meaningful, fulfilling life. And so what's oftentimes called the positive aging movement, which has a lot of different flavors, but that began to evolve, And, you know, it really emphasizes that in today's world, if people really take care of themselves physically and do the kind of things that can help them to live longer, healthier lives, and if people get out there and they are active, that they can really have fulfillment in their later chapters. And that's a real positive. It, you know, a big, big step forward. But what was missing from that was the whole question of not just what can I do as I age, but who can I be? What kind of a person can I be? How about my interior life as I age? And how about, you know, if it is a reality that for most of us we're going to have diminishing physical capacities as we age, maybe mental capacities too, then how do we find fulfillment even in the face of those kind of losses? You know, who do we want to be? And that's where conscious eldering comes in. And conscious eldering is oftentimes called conscious aging, and I think these two terms have a lot in common with each other. But it really is a way of understanding aging that says that aging can be a time when we have the potential to reach the pinnacle of our emotional and our spiritual growth in our later chapters, even as we end up suffering some of the inevitable losses of aging. And that beyond that, we have the potential to actually grow into a life stage that has almost been forgotten in the modern world we live in, the stage of elderhood. We have the potential to bring forth the elder within that wants to emerge at a certain point in life, to bring forth those qualities in our life so that we really can claim the role of elder, which has been so important throughout history and cultures around the world, but which really is hardly recognized at all or honored in today's culture. So conscious eldering is an approach to our aging that helps us to aspire to and to move forward toward embracing the role of elder.
Well, that's a very clear and succinct description of everything that I think your new book also addresses, and conscious living, conscious aging is really a valuable resource that people can have. And I recognize also, as I myself am reaching into my elderhood years, that in the past, honoring older adults in many societies around the world has been and still is a very important aspect of their lives.
Yes.
Why do you think that in our country it just didn't happen to the same extent that it's happening everywhere else?
You mean, are you asking why has it happened that we've gotten away from honoring older adults?
Yes.
You know, that's one of those complex questions, probably with a very complex answer. But I think a lot of it is that in cultures around the world that honor elders, those are cultures that live close to the land. That they have a strong relationship with the natural world, something that our modern world, by and large, we do not have. And so they came to recognize that life has its seasons. Human life has its seasons, just as life in the natural world around these cultures has its seasons. And they came to recognize that there's a season of fullness. And then that season of fullness naturally gives way to letting go, to endings, and then new beginnings happen in the spring. They recognize that, and they recognize that that's true in human life, too. and that as people age, they attain, you know, in what you might call the autumn of their lives, we attain a certain fullness, or at least we can attain that, a certain ripeness, where it's almost like we reach the fullness of our potential of who we can be as a human being. And if you have a culture that doesn't recognize the seasons of life, including human life, then it's pretty hard to see positives in aging when what we see around us is diminishment and loss as we get older. In cultures like ours, youth is what is glorified. And, you know, the other thing is that in cultures throughout history, the elders served as the mentors, you know, and younger people apprenticed to the elders, you know, not just in terms of how to live as good human beings, but also in terms of how to learn the skills that enable them to be successful in life. And we live in a world now, you know, governed by ever-accelerating advances in technology, where it's almost impossible even for the young people to keep up. And certainly for older people to keep up with that can be nearly impossible. And so older adults are not looked to as the source of information and training and apprenticeships for how to make a living. It's the younger people who are most attuned to, you know, all the technological advances. And so it's like there really isn't much of a role in our society for the elder anymore, like there is in traditional societies. So I think that's part of this whole phenomenon that has disempowered older adults, you know, for several generations now, and not just in America. You see this in a lot of Europe. You see this in a lot of places in the world.
So the availability of information to everyone with the internet and social media, it's you can look up anything you want, and so people are not relying, as you just said, on the elders within their families or within their communities as sources of this knowledge. Does that seem true for what you've observed?
Oh yeah, that's another facet of what we're talking about here. And you know, I think what is so important, especially given what you just said, that you can get all this kind of information from the internet and everywhere else. But the most important role that elders have played, as I understand it, in cultures throughout history, is they've been the ones who have lived long enough to know what is truly important in terms of being a human being, in terms of living with others, in terms of being part of community. You know, they've been the keepers of for the society of those enduring values that do not change when everything else is changing. They're the ones who have experienced enough of the highs and lows of life to see that everything that happens at any given moment, let me say it differently. Things are seldom as bad as they seem, and things are seldom as good as they seem. They can help keep perspective. They can help keep the bigger picture in mind and help younger people to learn how to do this. And I think that the one other thing that elders have always done is they have been the ones whose role it has been to help the society when society makes its decisions, when communities make their decisions, to be looking toward the well-being of future generations. And we've often heard that term that, you know, among certain Native Americans, whenever any important decisions were made with the seventh generation down the road in mind. How is this going to impact the future, impact our descendants? And that's the role of the elders traditionally, and it can still be the role to remind us that we need to be looking toward the well-being of the generations to come. And those are things that we can do in our society that my work and that of others is trying to remind us of, and to reinstate that kind of a role of elder. Because no matter what's happening technologically, there are certain basic gifts that true elders can give their society, and that's never going to change.
I totally agree with you. And it's elders have an experience of history, and often history tends to repeat itself. So the young ones coming of age don't necessarily have that background and haven't necessarily studied what has gone on, but I think when you said that the elders help keep perspective, because nothing is ever quite as good as it seems or as bad as it seems.
That's right.
You know, you're in a very unique place in your life, and how do you recognize your call to be a guide to conscious eldering?
Well, I've had a strong sense of calling for many, many years. Probably it first became clear to me when I was about 30 years old, and I had just finished my graduate training at the California Institute of Integral Studies in East-West Counseling Psychology, and I was really urgently seeking some clarity about how I was to give my gifts what really felt right. And around that time, I ended up meeting Stephen Foster and Meredith Little. And they're known around the world. They founded the School of Lost Borders, which is still going strong. And they are probably the people most responsible for helping to reintroduce to modern society the importance of rites of passage. Something that we have lost, but societies around the world throughout history have recognized is critically important in helping people to move from one stage of life and to grow into the next stage. And it's always been marked by rites of passage. And when I found Stephen Foster and Meredith Little and became one of their first students or apprentices, I recognized that what brought me the most fulfillment and gave me, you know, a sense of calling was in helping others to move through life transitions and to use the power of nature and wilderness kind of experiences to help them to do so. And so I recognized that calling a long time ago, and I ended up starting one of the first modern wilderness rite of passage organizations here based in Colorado back in the 80s. And that's been the most important work I've done in my life for many years, even though I've had to do some other things at times, like corporate creativity training and things like that to make a living. But I've always known that was my calling. And then when I ended up reaching about the early 50s, I began to recognize that perhaps I'm not immortal. I could feel it. I had some health situations that taught me that. And aging first began to come on my radar screen. And I found myself fascinated with doing oral history work with elders in our community, learning about their lives. And about that time, two wise elders, 15 years older than me, who had heard about my work with rites of passage, invited me to join them in creating some kind of a rite of passage, you know, where we spend a lot of time in the natural world, to help people move from midlife adulthood into the life stage of elderhood. And so here are these wise elders, and here's 52-year-old Ron, who didn't know much about eldering, but I knew a lot about rite of passage. And what an incredible gift they gave me, inviting me to join them in this, to see their work, to learn from them, to assist them and to see how this kind of work impacted other people. And gradually I began to recognize that this is indeed my work. It is what I want to be doing for the rest of my life. And when these wise elders ended up no longer able to do this work, they aged out of it, if you will, they passed the torch to me, and I started the Center for Conscious Eldering and have been doing this work ever since about, you know, about the year 2004. And it feels so much to me like a calling, like this is what I was put in this world to give, to make this kind of a difference. Nothing brings me as alive as when I am with a group of people sitting in circle on one of our retreats and just exploring what's possible for us as human beings in this precious time of life, and what are the challenges, and how can we get there? How can we be our best? How can we be the elders that our world urgently needs right now?
I think you are extremely unique in that at such a young age you recognized and embraced your calling. And I would like to explore further with you about being in service and having a calling and how it translates into really recognizing having a purpose in life.
And purpose is so vitally important, I think, at any point in life, but maybe even more so in our elder years. And I look forward to sharing with you my perspectives on that as we move forward in our conversation.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Products, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships. All to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it. Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, BeyondWord.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit BeyondWord.com.
Uplifting Talk, HealthyLife.net.
I think there is nothing more important than purpose for human beings to thrive, Richard. And given that my work, you know, for the last 20 years has been focused on helping to empower elders, I've had the opportunity to talk with, to interview, to learn from some of those people whose mission it is to help the world understand the power of purpose. One of those people is Richard Leiter, who wrote The Power of Purpose, which is an incredible book that I recommend to everybody who might be interested in purpose. But what you find uniformly in talking to people who understand purpose and people who understand what makes for healthy longevity in people around the world, people who understand what are some of those factors that help people to age well physically and mentally, and what are those factors that stand in the way of people really thriving physically and mentally, you find purpose is always in the middle of these conversations. That if one has a sense of purpose, you are physically healthier, you have a greatly diminished chance of getting Alzheimer's. Lots of studies show that. And you feel like you are thriving. You really have good, strong energy. Now, I'd like to define purpose a little bit. The definition of purpose that is most meaningful to me and to those that whose thinking I resonate with is purpose is a reason for getting up in the morning that is bigger than just ourselves, that is bigger than just our comfort or our striving for security. Basically, another way of putting it, it is purpose is our way of showing up as our best and giving our very best to the world. In our elderhood, certainly, and at any point in life, but again, my focus is really on elderhood. And so many people wake up in the morning and their main priority, basically, is how am I going to fill the hours? How am I going to find whatever pleasure I could find? And how am I going to be as secure as I could possibly be? But contrast that with a whole commitment when you get up in the morning that my main priority is that somehow today I am going to grow and somehow today I am going to be of service to others, to the world, to community. That's such a different mindset, but that is the mindset, as I see it, of an elder. That we recognize that these are precious years we have, and, you know, in today's world we can live longer than many generations have ever lived before. We have the opportunity to have our lives make a real difference in our world, and make a real difference for others. And having that sense of purpose, that today I'm going to grow and I am somehow going to serve and I'm going to find ways that I can grow and I can serve, that makes all the difference in how well we age, whether we thrive as we age or whether we just kind of exist and drift into getting old.
I think that is a very, very clear and wonderful summary of what everyone really can have. Now, I'm certain that a number of our listeners may want to know how do you find your purpose in life if you don't already have one, or if that purpose maybe has changed.
Yeah, that is such an important question. One of the most important questions that that people bring to the retreats that we offer, and I offer some suggestions that a lot of people find really helpful. first, a good place to start is with what I just said. Kind of like if you have at the macro level, if you have a sense of purpose that today and each day I'm going to somehow grow and I'm going to somehow serve, then that is a strong sense of purpose right there. And there are a million opportunities for growth and for service every day. But then, if that is your mindset, then you start paying more and more attention to, well, what are those things that I can do that bring me most alive, you know, as I am growing and as I'm serving? And what are those gifts? And I call them signature gifts. Some people call them soul gifts. But what are those gifts that I have to give to the world that make me somewhat unique and that bring me most alive? And I think that is so much a critical thing when we talk about purpose. And I think of that wonderful quote from the philosopher and social activist Howard Thurman. And he said, "Don't ask what the world needs. Ask what brings you alive, truly alive, and then go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive." And so to spend time as we age, looking at our lives now and looking at our lives up to now and thinking and looking carefully at what has brought me most alive. And I'm not talking about cheap thrills. I'm feeling real, really alive. You know, doing some life review and asking ourselves what kind of things was I doing in my work life that brought me most alive? You know, what roles was I playing? What was I doing where I came most alive? Sometimes we can ask people who know us, have known us for a long time, "Hey, I'm trying to get a sense of what my real gifts are and what my purpose is. So tell me what you see. You know, what makes me most unique? What do you feel my contribution is or can be to the world?" And spending that time in that kind of reflection can really help us to begin to hone in on particular gifts we might have to give that can be the clearest and strongest expression of our sense of purpose in our elder years. Is that helpful for a starting place, Richard?
That really is, and I think the last thing too that you mentioned was, you know, asking people who know us, people who have been around us, friends from the past, relatives, people who have observed us, both in our work life and, you know, and in our family life, and have seen the kinds of things that we have contributed and can still contribute. I'd also like to look at maybe what the difference is between old and being an elder.
Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships, all to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at beyondword.com, amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar, you deserve it.
Picture this, it's Saturday night and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit beyondword.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. Beyondword.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, beyondword.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal, so visit beyondword.com. Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net, the radio network that brings positive talk with positive change to make your world a little better.
There is a significant difference between being old and being an elder. I could probably talk about this forever because there's so many facets to the answer to that question. And so I'll just give you a couple that are most meaningful to me. Being old, as I see it, is very much about primarily living for ourselves, living for our own pleasures, living for our own security as best we can find it in the increasingly insecure world that we live in. Being an elder is recognizing that in this precious stage of life, with the gift of longevity that we've been given, because there haven't been many societies throughout history where huge numbers of people have lived old enough to live long enough to really be elders. But recognizing that this gift comes with a responsibility, and that responsibility is to use our gifts as best we can and as best as we know them to help make a positive difference in our community and in our world, and that's a major priority. And that is such a huge difference in how we identify ourselves. If we identify as an elder with that kind of a larger role, as opposed to if we just identify as some retired guy or retired gal, you know, trying to fill the hours and see what pleasure we can get. And it's not to in any way imply that seeking pleasure and some security, there's anything wrong with that. But it's a matter of priority. What is most important to us? And all those that I look up to and respect as elders are people who recognize that community and the world we live in really depends upon all of us elders giving our gifts, making a difference in whatever ways we can. And we have the benefits of long lives, lots of experience under our belt. A lot of elders, they say that, well, certainly not true for everybody, but they say that there's more wealth in today's elder generation than any other generation or demographic throughout history. We've got so many resources that we can apply toward making a positive difference in this world if we choose to do so. But that requires choosing to identify ourselves as elders. But more than that, because it's not just a matter of saying, you know, I'm an elder or I'm going to go to some retreat and I'm going to come home and I'm going to be an elder. It's a whole process of growth, of personal growth, of healing the past as best we can, getting rid of the baggage that we all carry with us as we age, the emotional baggage, healing our relationships, deepening our relationship with spirit, however we understand that. There's all that I call the inner work of conscious eldering that is essential to gradually bring forth more and more of those qualities of elder within us. And at some point, we're going to begin to see that, boy, others are starting to kind of look at me as an elder. They're seeing something in me. It's not so much me saying, hey, I'm an elder and wearing my badge, but it's the matter when you start to see other people, the way they interact with you, treating you as if you are an elder, somebody that they want to emulate, somebody where they see some wisdom, where they see a certain equanimity, they see a certain depth. Those qualities gradually emerge, but you have to do inner work to help support their emergence. And the more you do so, as I see it, the more you bring forth the elder in you, as you also are getting old.
And one of the things that you mentioned within this, too, is the healing of relationships. And I think that's something that it's something that a lot of people can do, and in some cases should do, as they move into elderhood. And are there tools that you have used yourself or that you've recognized that have been successful in others to help heal relationships?
Yes, there certainly are. And I think that healing relationships is so important, because if we don't, you know, if we continue to carry resentment, you know, if we have not forgiven in others or in ourselves that needs to be forgiven, if we don't do that, we have energy tied up in that. That's what I called earlier baggage. And if our energy is tied up in that, it's tied up in the past, then that energy is not available to help support us in moving forward into what we aspire to be and what we aspire to do. Forgiveness is such a biggie. And we've had many hospice workers who come on our retreats, a disproportionate number for some reason. And they say that probably the thing that the biggest factor in many people having a really difficult death is lack of forgiveness, the resentments that they carry toward others and oftentimes toward themselves and sometimes toward God. And so really working on identifying those areas where we have been holding on to grudges or resentments, and in doing so, closing our hearts, identifying that, and then just doing some of that challenging work of letting go of that. You know, and reminding ourselves, as others have said, that oftentimes, you know, holding a resentment is like drinking poison while you're thinking of somebody that you resent and hoping that it's somehow going to harm them. And all we're doing is poisoning ourselves. It's so toxic. And so they're, you know, to tell, I think it's almost impossible for me in a few words to be able to talk about how you forgive yourself or others. But there's so much that can be learned about that, including in my book and many other good sources. Forgiveness is just critical. It's critical.
I know Jerry Jampolsky wrote a book a number of years ago that we published called Forgiveness, the Greatest Healer of All.
And, oh, okay.
And in it, he does talk about how sometimes people do heinous acts, and you don't have to condone the act, but you can forgive the human being, the person, and how much relief it gives to one through that process of forgiveness. And I think I would love for you to explore a little bit about what it means to age consciously.
You know, I think the contrast to aging consciously is living and aging out of habit unconsciously. And it is so easy to do. I think we all know how easy it is to just get into habitual ways of being. But to me, when I use the word conscious, I really talk about ever-increasing awareness. And so...
We're coming up on a little break, but when we come back, I'd love for you to talk more about that.
Okay, I'd be happy to.
Everyone loves Oracle cards. They make great gifts for you or anyone, and I know where you can get the best ones. BeyondWord.com. These decks are created by top visionaries with beautiful, unique, original artwork. With over 20 beautiful card decks and easy-to-understand guidebooks from angels to spirit animals, there is certainly one deck or more that calls out to you. These visionary decks are fun, filled with wisdom, and can give you insight. So visit BeyondWord.com. Go to Product, Type, and click on Cards. It's so much fun. Do it now. BeyondWord.com. Get a second chance at life at any age. Turn your life around to be happy, successful, and fulfilled. It's an easy step-by-step process with Michael Clinton's new book, Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life. Reimagine yourself, own who you are, act on what's next, and reassess relationships. All to roar into the second half of your life, which is the name of the book. Get your copy of Roar Into the Second Half of Your Life by Michael Clinton at BeyondWord.com, Amazon.com, or order it from any bookstore. Go ahead and roar. You deserve it.
Picture this. It's Saturday night, and you want to watch a film. Not one of those violent blood and guts film, but one that makes you feel good or become spiritually aware or gives you information in a thought-provoking way. That's when you visit Beyond Words Publishing. They have these films. Get videos on demand, buy DVDs, or even get information on how to host a movie screening for your community. Visit BeyondWord.com and explore their videos and their new release, Cat People. Saturday night just got better. BeyondWord.com.
Remember this name, Beyond Words Publishing. If you remember the best-selling book, The Secret, then you already know Beyond Words Publishing. For the last 36 years, they've been publishing the best metaphysical, spiritual, and self-help material. So here's the real secret. You always get the best books, audio, and film direct from Beyond Words Publishing. Visit their website, beyondword.com, or call 503-531-8700. They'll accept all major credit cards and PayPal. So visit beyondword.com.
Where positive people and radio unite. HealthyLife.net.
Growing in consciousness means growing in awareness. And growing in awareness of a lot of things. You know, growing in awareness of all those voices within us that are not our own authentic voice, but the voice of our parents, the voice of our society, the voice of the world around us that we've internalized, telling us what we should believe or what we should feel or what we should do or who we should be. Becoming aware of that, you know, what is our own unique voice and what are these other voices that we've internalized? Becoming more conscious is becoming aware of all those shadow elements in us that we all have that really play such a strong role in shaping our feelings and our thoughts and how we approach each day. Becoming more and more aware of those so we bring them out of the shadow and so they don't have the power over us that they might have if we're unconscious. Conscious means becoming aware as we live each day of those ways of being and acting and doing that support our well-being as opposed to just living out of habit and oftentimes engaging in all kinds of activities that do not in any way support our well-being, but they're just habitual ways of being. The word conscious has a lot to do for me with the word intentional. Living our lives intentionally rather than just, you know, being at the mercy or the whim of whatever habit or whatever inclination might come up in every given moment. A couple more things. It's becoming aware of our relationship to that something greater than ourselves that you could call spirit or creator or whatever, and recognizing that that is our source and our essence, and that we can bring that into our lives more and more. That's becoming conscious. And lastly, becoming conscious for me is becoming aware of how our lives are so intimately interrelated with the rest of the human community and the planet around us and all of its beings. Becoming aware that it's about more than just us, that we are part of something much larger, and we have an important role to play in that. And so to me, all of that is what it means to become more conscious. And conscious aging is about bringing more and more of that consciousness into our elder years.
That is just a wonderful contribution that is being made through the work that you're doing and through your book to everyone in society, to our listeners, to their families. And I think the new edition that you've done of your book, Conscious Living, Conscious Aging, really brings forth all of these points that you've talked about. And it's obviously a book that's available in bookstores, on Amazon. It's available through Beyond Words as well. But I also think that it's important for me to remind our listeners, too, of your website, because it, too, is a source of information about what you're doing and workshops and retreats that you lead. And if I may, I will mention it again. It's the Center for Conscious Eldering.com.
Yeah, Center for Conscious Eldering.com. And your listeners can find a lot of articles there. They can find articles by me and by colleagues and others. They can find interviews that I've done. Many people find it a really valuable source of a lot of inspiration and information about conscious eldering.
To really sum up the work that you do, I think one of the things that would be wonderful if you would address is how our listeners, how people can find meaning and purpose after retirement when we no longer have our jobs to provide that meaning or, in some cases, identity.
Well, I think that one of the most important things people can do is spend some time reviewing their lives, Richard. And life review is such an important part of the inner work of conscious eldering. Looking at their lives carefully and looking at throughout their lives what brought them the most true, deep-seated satisfaction. What brought them the most joy? What brought them most alive? What made them most passionate? Been asking themselves, you know, if this was true, and this has kind of been a thread that's been woven throughout my life up to now, then that's part of me. And so how can I find ways to tap into those particular activities or ways of being or those attitudes that have brought me most alive? How can I find ways to bring that into these years after retirement? Because if that was true for us throughout our lives, that's one of those threads that just runs through our life, then that thread's going to be there until the day we die. And so there are ways of tapping into that, but it really takes spending the time to really be reflective, to look at our lives, what we have learned, what needs to be healed, what are the possibilities that now that we've got the freedom that retirement can afford us, what are the possibilities for coming alive again in ways we might not even imagine. But it takes work. It takes some effort to do that kind of reflection and that self-examination. And there are good books out there. I certainly, you know, would recommend mine, but there are so many good materials there. I don't think there's never been a time in human history when people have access to so many incredible resources that can help us to see how we can grow and how we can thrive. But it's a matter of intentionally and consciously choosing how we spend our days. You know, do we spend them just watching mind-numbing TV, for instance? Or do we spend them becoming aware of some of these rich opportunities and resources that can help us to thrive? Choices that we make each day. How are we going to grow, and how are we going to serve?
These are all amazingly wonderful suggestions and opportunities for our listeners and everyone. You know, each day, as you said earlier about when you get up in the morning and instead of just doing the mundane tasks and watching TV and the other things that can pull our attention away, but really reflect to taking the time, as you said, in a life review, taking the time to look back on all that has occurred in your life. What brought you a stronger sense of purpose, what allowed you to be in service, and all the gifts that you have that you can contribute to the world. This has been a wonderful, wonderful time with you, Ron. And again, I hope everyone gets a chance to read your book, Conscious Living, Conscious Aging. And thank you for all the sharing you have done. I know it's going to make a wonderful contribution for everyone.
Thank you, Richard. I've really appreciated this conversation, and I appreciate everything that you and Beyond Words does to support me and to help bring important ideas to the world around us. So thank you very much.
You are most welcome.